This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you know, it's never going to be a good day when you have to call the utility repairman. And the day gets even worse when they tell you that they can be there sometime between 8 and 5. Really. So you scramble around trying to rearrange your schedule to accommodate their total disregard of your time and your day. But there are just some things that you cannot avoid doing. So you wait and you wait and you wait. They never seem to come on the early end of the range that they give you. They always seem to come at the very end of the range. And so I had to go pick up my son from school. And you would know it, wouldn't you? In the 15 minutes that it took me to return, I missed the guy. It was one of those days where it seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And that's the feeling I get when I hear this parable this morning of the 10 bridesmaids. It's almost comical, if not a little cruel. You see, the only distinction between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids was the amount of oil that they took. Not that they did not have oil, they did, but it was the amount of oil. They all arrived on time. They were all dressed in the same dress. They all waited patiently. They all naturally got tired and fell asleep. And you know, falling asleep is never a good thing in biblical terms. Awakened by the crier, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish found that their oil was running out. They had miscalculated. They had not brought enough oil with them. And the 5 wise virgins would not share because they would not have enough for themselves. So the foolish go out to the dealer to buy more oil, and the door is shut. They miss the bridegroom. They miss out on the big party. And so is that how it works? That one decision, that one miscalculation marks the line between inclusion and exclusion in the ultimate party. I don't think this parable is exactly what the gospel is saying to us this morning. I think we've got to look into it a little bit deeper. I think the key part here is that the bridegroom was delayed. And the bridegroom is delayed. And that sets the tone for everything. I think the question the gospel is posing to each one of us is, how do we prepare ourselves to live when we do not know the day or the hour of his return? How do we live faithfully, confidently, and indeed expectantly, even when the bridegroom is delayed? And that should not be a surprise to us. Being prepared for the long haul is crucial. Learning how to be people in waiting is our way of life. It's the way of life that we're called to. But waiting on the Lord is a different kind of waiting than waiting on the repairman. I don't know how many of us are sitting around at home rearranging our schedules, looking out the window and waiting for the Lord to return. No, we are waiting in a different kind of way. We're waiting actively in the way that we live our lives. We're waiting as we go about our lives each and every day. It certainly doesn't seem very Christian of the wise five bridesmaids not to share with their foolish. Since when was it not Christian to share with one another? But the gospel here is saying that there's some things that just can't be borrowed or bought or acquired quickly and easily. They must be cultivated and nurtured. Things like our intellect, things like our character, and most importantly and essentially our relationship with God. You know, I used to think that I could cram for a test. I could stay up late in the middle of the night and read all of the things that I had to read and show up and do well on this test. I was kidding myself. It never turned out the way that I had hoped. I had to admit that I was not at all prepared for that exam. Our character, likewise, is something that nothing that we can develop quickly. It happens over time. It happens as we are formed, as we are shaped by life's experiences, as we make decisions day in and day out, as we are in tune with the desires of our heart. We cannot borrow or pretend to be somebody we're not. We can't just show up one day and all of a sudden, you know, act like we are somebody that we're not. Our character is something that we are clothed in. It's something that is a part of us. So when the foolish bridesmaids knocked on the door, they were told something that they were shocked to learn, that they were not known by the bridegroom. They had thought that they were in relationship with him, but they were not even known. So the link here between the amount of oil and the depth and the authenticity of this relationship between the bridesmaid and the bridegroom. Our relationship with Jesus has to be an active part of who we are. It has to be authentic and real. It's not about being perfectly prepared. It's not about attaining some mark that all of us can get to. It's about the desires of our heart, the way in which we daily desire to live into that relationship. It is the hope and the faith that we cling to in the midst of our struggles, in the times of injustice, in the longings of our heart. seeking the Lord in our daily life, seeking the Lord in the face of others. When we say in the liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. What a statement of faith. We're not just speaking about Christ coming again at the end of time. We're talking about his presence with us in those very words, in that proclamation of faith. It is a statement of hope. It is a claiming of God's presence with us right now. When we say, oh Lord, make haste to help us. Make speed to save us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Those are both claims of urgency, but they're also witnesses of God's promise and indeed his faithfulness. And it is in that cry of our heart that God is present to each one of us. Yes, we want our waits to be over, but we also trust that God is showing up to us and with us in our waiting. In our waiting, he is meeting us where we are. If our waiting is in fear, God comes to us with peace. If our waiting is in longing and hoping, God comes to us with a new satisfaction, a deeper satisfaction. If our waiting is in anticipation, God brings us a new joy, a joy that the world cannot give us. In the words of Matthew, he says, keep alert. Keep alert. But it's not being alert for the repairman. It's being alert for God who enters into our daily lives and meets us where we are. And in our cry for his mercy, gives us exactly what we need. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Meet us where we are. Amen.